it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who fell to Detroit 4-1. The Cats play the back end of their back-to-back tonight in New Jersey. The puck drops at 7. The game can be heard here on WQAM. In the NFL, Week 7 begins tonight with the Steelers and Bengals. Kickoff is at 8:15. Over to the Canes, who will return from their bye week tomorrow night when they host Louisville. Kickoff is at 7 from Hard Rock, and the game can be heard here on WQIM with our countdown to kickoff beginning at 3. And in baseball, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 13-4. Seattle leads the ALCS 2-1. The Joe Rose Show continues now. And it is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about player-only meetings and leadership and learning how to win and everything else. And one of the guys I really appreciated having around, man, when I was a young guy was Don Strock, our quarterback, and he joins us this morning. Stroker, how have you been, brother? How you doing?
Kokomo, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you? I see you allowed Bo on your show. He should be graced for that, you know.
I come in and I bow to the altar of Joe Rose.
There you go.
That's what it's
come to around. It's pretty damn sad.
You know what? Coming into Joe's show is almost as special is stopping by your house in Miami Springs with that beer keg you had.
and playing cards
before we got on the team planes.
Well, remember, make sure everybody realizes I had Heineken on tap.
That's right. You're darn right. Nothing but.
So, oh, man.
I want to show a little class here, okay?
Yeah. Hey, so Don, you can imagine with all this talk going on and what the quarterback says and talk of leadership, and I get it. They're 1-5, so a lot of stuff's being asked. I just, you know, and Woody's been asking, well, what about leadership on your teams? And I don't know if it's a good example. We had a lot of leaders. And Stroke, do we have a lot of player-only meetings? I don't remember, to be honest.
I don't remember any.
Yeah.
And the only meetings I remember were where we were going to have dinner if we went to Buffalo or New England.
Those are good meetings.
I think the only player meeting I remember was when we were on strike and when are we going to get our money?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that was more important than anything.
Yes, exactly.
But I think, first of all, when you say you're the leader of the team, then maybe you're lacking a little bit. If you follow what I'm saying here. Okay. You know, as the leader of the team, we call a player. Now, the only thing that I'm wondering about is the press in this area, as you guys know, how'd they not find out already the guy that didn't show to the meetings? Okay. And then actually called them. Why did you not go to the meeting? Why did you not go to this one? Why'd you not go to that? And then put it out there. And then you find out what the problems are. Okay. But if you're sitting, and now I understand it's not about grievances, these meetings. It's about going over what the coaches just put in.
Right, right.
Now, wait a minute. I'm baffled by this. If you don't understand what the coaches just put in a meeting, and you're calling a meeting to understand what the coaches just put in, and the coaches aren't there, I'm missing something.
Well, then they say some of the coaches have come in. So I don't understand. You know, so to me, here to me, ask me, answer this if you can. Leadership. You know, I'm listening to Tua after he comes out and he throws people under the bus. He must have said leaders 15 times. You know, and look, you look around, and I don't know who the leaders are. I can probably figure out who they are. But there's nobody on that team playing well, so why are you leaning on? I don't understand this phenomenon now where you got to have 8 or 10 leaders on the team, and they're, you know, why don't you just learn how to block and tackle, learn your plays, play the game, and you don't need that.
You get some wins.
The leadership is supposed to come from the guys that are sitting upstairs. That's where it's supposed to come from. those guys.
Well, let me just say, does leadership lead to your offense being 26th in the National Football League? Does it come to your rushing offense being 27th? Does it come to your defense being ranked 30th and dead last against the run? Now, if you need meetings for that, then you're in the wrong game, okay? I can tell you that right now. I mean, everybody needs to step up. Our situation was, you know, when we went to practice, and Joe will tell you, if I didn't like the way he ran a route, whatever, I say, Joe, rub off on the guy a little bit, you'll feel the pressure and break away from him. That was our meeting, okay? I mean, and it worked, and he believed it, okay? We never had meetings where we're telling, a guy, nothing like that ever happened.
I'm glad you said that, Stroker, because I was just thinking, we're playing the Chargers, and Shoes would call plays sometimes, and sometimes he had a bunch, and I'm putting it nicely, but Stroke called a lot of our calls. Don standing next to him, and he's calling a lot of plays. So now we're playing against the Chargers, and we're getting ready to tie that game back up to start the second half. And he says, tight end option, man. He goes, break inside. Stroke watching a lot more tape than I am. He goes, don't go outside, break inside. Break inside, catch it, run into the end zone for a touchdown. I never did ask him, but I knew Stroke watched so much stuff. Why? I said, you. It was like he told me to run tight end option. We should go in or out. He said break in. Stroke, I had no idea, except I knew you watched so much tape and knew exactly what area. I knew you were always so prepared.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, you know. When people are questioning your offense or questioning, you know, how many people sat in those quarterback meetings for 4 hours on a Tuesday after you guys were already home having a beer somewhere, you know? They were tough meetings, and then we watched everything we could possibly watch. And it's I don't know how to explain it. I know that it's the way they're going about it, you know. I don't know. If I compared Coach Don Shula to Coach Mike McDaniel, I mean, there's a big difference there as far as not so much experience or whatever, but you know, the way they confronted people, the way they ran their you know, their meetings, the whole nine yards. I'm sure it's totally different.
And so I don't know that, you know, to me, when Tua said that, I'm saying meetings, to me, that is just what we would be like. There was always guy like Glenn and Lyle always came in and watched extra tape. AJ and Baum, you know, guys would just come in on their own after practice.
Right.
And watch extra tape. Now, no one called those meetings. It was just, hey, you know, and maybe if someone walks by, hey, why don't you come in and watch some tape with us? And it wasn't a mandatory thing, but guys felt that they needed, look, I'm going to play defensive line. I don't need to watch tape. It's only three things I can do. And one thing I can
I wanted to get out of there at three myself.
A little bit of a short circuit there. But I don't know if that's what they're talking about and then trying to make those mandatory, but I'm still confounded by what kind of meetings they're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, I remember last year saying, okay, the Dolphins have named their captains. There's eight guys.
Right.
Eight captains?
Yeah.
I mean,
let me tell you this about those captains. So this year they named the six or eight captains, right? And I always thought the captains were you know, mainly to go do the coin toss.
Yeah.
Right. So in Indianapolis, they got eight captains. I look out, three guys that weren't captains went to the coin toss.
Yeah.
I'm going, what?
No, I didn't. What? I didn't understand that either. I didn't know if the guy was going back home to play.
What's that all about?
He had a good day of practice or what happened with that. So, Stroker, you know, the other thing. So we didn't have all the coaches they have now. And I know it's a different time and stuff. Got 26, 27 coaches. We had 10 or whatever the number was. But what I always appreciate, I thought was great. That guy had us prepared. He went through every situation. Coach Shula did. But I really appreciate, and I said this yesterday, for Clayton and Duper, I thought Nat Moore was like, they couldn't have had a better realistic coach that's done it, been there, just like you were for quarterbacks and the tight ends and things you helped us with. I just thought along with Nat, we just couldn't have had two better leaders. And Dan Marino is a great example, man. He openly, I'm not saying anything that he hasn't said a thousand times, he gives you a lot of credit for his success, man, and getting him started in the right direction and how to be a pro, but what to look for, looking guys off, things he had never done that gave him a chance to be successful early.
Well, I'd like to take credit for teaching him how to throw, too, but
I left that one out, Stroh.
I don't think many people would buy that.
Yeah.
But that situation goes all the way back to his rookie year. They put his locker right next to Paul Warfield. Okay.
Yeah.
And he followed Paul Warfield like a little puppy dog. Okay. They worked on steps. Steps.
Yeah.
This is 1974 now. Paul Warfield worked on steps on a slant, steps to a corner, steps on an out. You know, everything was measured. You know, nothing was a straight angle. There was movement inside, outside, get back to normal, inside, outside. I mean, these are things that nobody knew, nobody really worked on. And then when Duper and Clayton come along, remember now, Dupe was a track guy, okay? And he was fast. He had to learn how to play football.
Right.
Okay. Clayton was just a natural athlete, one of the best I've ever seen. But just that movement and him teaching them the steps and stuff. And you know, those two guys could be hard headed at times too, you know. So mistakes were made and then they learned from them and they became great receivers. And there's one thing that's going to happen this weekend. Okay. You're going to Cleveland, and in Cleveland, I played there for years. It's a great place. The fans are unbelievable. Okay, both teams are 1-5. Somebody's going to be 1-6. Okay, and that won't be the most pleasurable place to be for either one, I don't think. And I mean, there's a. I think that a lot of every team in the NFL, and both you guys know this, Joe and Bo, they're top heavy. Okay, you got the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is making $55 million. Saquon Barkley's making 22. The receivers are making 15 apiece, you know, whatever. And then, much like the Dolphins did and a lot of teams do, they go out in the waiver wire and they sign guys for 1 year who may have been hurt the year before or the year before that and hope they come back and be able to play, and you start them. You're starting them in the offensive line. You're starting them in the defensive line. The corners for the Dolphins weren't with the team 2 weeks before the first game of the season. And they're starting. So how are they into the concept of what they're trying to get done? I mean, this is what's happened to the NFL, and not just the Dolphins. I'm not just saying the Dolphins. You look at all these teams and going like, Xavier Howard was out of football and ended up going up and playing against the Dolphins in the first game of the year.
Yeah.
With the Colts. I mean, so that's where everything's leaning right now.
I just think everybody agrees, Stroke. It was top heavy in money, and second of all, it just doesn't look like it's a good roster that complements each other with the group. And by the way, put a lot of pressure on this draft class. And to be honest, Stroke, you know, they've struggled both sides of the ball. They have struggled to learn, and they got to learn. It's going to take time.
Well, they drafted them. Number one and number two are playing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, the game is faster. These guys have better technique than when you played against in college. You know, you were bigger and stronger and better at that point. It goes all the way from high school to college to the pros. Okay. You're the best of the best of the best. Okay. And all of a sudden the game is pretty damn fast. Okay. If you don't have your eye on the ball.
Let me ask you, I haven't asked you directly, two of the quarterback throwing. And what you see from him. What have you seen, Stroke?
Well, he's not the tallest guy.
No.
Okay. And what teams have been doing is they're trying to keep him in the pocket and have to throw over top of them. And you see a lot of high balls. And I'll tell you, Jalen Waddle made two unbelievable catches in that game or they wouldn't even have been close. A tip ball, man, that long one was thrown over the wrong shoulder and I'm not sure where it was thrown, but
a hell of a catch.
And Tua is accurate, you know, with bubble screens and that stuff. But if you're the arm strength, you know, I think is a little bit of concern. And it was, and I'm not saying anything that people don't know. It was one of the things coming out. Okay. Now, if you looked at the game and you saw the big guy from the other side,
Justin Herbert,
standing in the hole and firing it, it looked different than when Tua was firing it. Okay, so I think there's a system was set up for Tua. This is a system he can play in. It's not running on all cylinders now. I thought, to be honest with you, I'll tell both you guys and anybody listening, I thought when Tyreek Hill got hurt, the offense would become more diversified, you know, and run the ball a little more play action, you know, shorter passes, that type thing. Not having to get the ball to Tyreek Hill, which a lot of times you have to your star receiver. But and I think that they're starting to get into that adjustment. Hopefully it'll work, but they've got a long way to go. Now I'm telling you, your two starting tackles are out. I mean, haven't played a down yet. A guy that you signed that you wanted to come in and start for you hasn't even lined up yet.
Lined up for three plays.
He got three plays.
You may not realize it. It's not three plays to get your next year on pension. It's
just yeah, right. Yeah. 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 I know.
It's bizarre.
It's tough now. I mean, it's there's going to be some changes, I think. You know, that you get a window, you know, as a coach to make. I mean, listen, people are getting fired who won. I mean, Pettersson got fired. He won the Super Bowl 2 years before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so there's nothing safe in that leg. Okay. Yeah. And there's always the next hot guy coming up, you know, that is going to turn it around for you until they sit in that seat, and that seat gets awful hot.
Yeah, that seat is a little bit different, no question about it. Stroker, man, thank you so much for spending a little time with us, man. We need Stroker
fix. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, bud. Don Strock, former quarterback.
What a good guy, man.
The best.
I mean,
a great teammate.
From a teammate. Even look, I was a defensive player, and he still affected my career. In a lot of ways, you know, kind of taught you how to be a pro.
Taught you how to be a pro. Went out as a group.
Yep.
He was there exactly. Right in the middle.
Yep. I remember going out with him. It was my second year. I lost my first year. And we were up in St. Louis or somewhere, me, A.J. Baumhauer. And he bought some of this Louis the 35th or whatever. At that time, I think it was about $1.25 a shot. And he lined them up for us. That was the greatest.
He did everything first class. He was the best. Man. He had to. All right. Best. Hey, we got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Do want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and Low T. Hey, it's going to happen to every guy out there. Matter of fact, I was shocked to find out from Atlantic Men's Clinic. And now that I go every week over there, I see a lot of guys in their late 30s, 40s. Matter of fact, then when they come, I go, how old is she? You go, 43. Oh, my God, it's going on with them, too. Yeah. Low T is real, man, and ED, it's going to happen to every guy out there. Where your energy level's way down, you're gaining weight because you don't exercise like you used to because you don't feel great. And then your sex drive. Oh, when that ED kicks in and there's no sex drive. Oh, my God, my poor wife was making excuses for me, and I go, stop. Something's wrong. I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I got great results, and that's all I want to tell everybody. If you want to get your energy level and your sex drive back and really get a lot more out of life, no matter what quarter you think you are in your life right now, I just want to let you know to set something up with Atlantic Men's Clinic. They'll do the T, the PSA test. You'll meet with their professional staff, and they will after they look at your numbers, put you on a program that's perfect for your situation with 7 locations. There is no excuses, including a brand new one in Hollywood right now. I got great results, and I got it fast, and I know you will too. Call them today. Set up that first appointment, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For a quick sports update. Well, thank you, Hollywood. It's been a tough week here for the Milpitas Trojans, who are dealing with some issues inside the locker room. Although the team was able to beat Half Moon Bay in an overtime thriller, quarterback Jack McCock voiced his frustrations to the media following the game.
Let me make something clear to all you members of the Milpitas media. I'm doing my best I can, but man, it's hard to win when you're surrounded by crap players. Our offensive line stinks, but hey, at least they aren't as pathetic as our defensive line. Maybe if these losers showed up for meetings, then we could actually be a functioning team for once. But that would take leadership, which we obviously do not have. Anyway, F this team, the coaches, and especially the fans who can't do what I do while they sit around eating their footlong hot dogs. Anyway, it's game night at the McCock House, and you all care more than I do.
JMC's comments were not well received, and he had to issue an apology. The coaching staff has reached out to Trojan legend Kim Bocamper to see if he could head up a leadership council to get the team back on track. And now let's send it back to a man who embodies culture, company man Harold.
That was good.
That was good. I'll admit that was good.
I mean, if you're going to go to old good old Milpitas,
yeah,
I put a T in there, Bo, just for the record.
Yeah, there you go.
The correct way, but yeah. Anyway, we keep that city alive, Bo. We
well,
never
the,
forget
you know,
about
what I got from that was the Trojan leadership has been stretched thin, so to speak.
Yes, it has. Right? Not big enough.
No,
just not big enough.
No,
not big enough right now on the Trojan team.
Hey, nice job there, guys.
Yeah,
no, stretch thin. You don't want to rip, right?
Yeah, no, no. We
anyway, we had rib problems too. I think with the with the team, I think that's causing some of the problems.
Anyway,
you see, now you drag me into that. Vortex there.
Yes, there's. It always gets raunchy, and this kind of stuff just seems to happen. All right, man. So we still got a lot of games left.
Yeah.
I really haven't talked to you that much this week like I usually do. So can we say that?
You got a really
good chance to win this game. So they scored 13 a game.
So we've been saying that every week, right?
Yes.
You should beat the Colts. Now I'll give you this. The Colts are a better football team than anyone expected going in.
Yeah, right. You got the best record.
Right. I mean, so we'll give that. The Jets sneaked out one there. But ever since then, we should beat this team. We're better than this team.
Right.
Well, we're better. Well, these guys got – first it was, they got their backup running back who run for 285 yards or whatever it was against us. And then this one was, this guy just came off the practice squad. This running back is going to – and then their whole offensive – they had to bring the kid from St. Thomas Aquinas out of retirement. I think he's been retired for 5 years.
Yeah, he's
and they brought him in here and started.
Right.
Right. And so and
they
then,
were
and,
down
in their
bunch
whole
of
offensive line and they were decimated, the injuries. That goes to tell the fans when you look at injuries in games, it means nothing in this league. So you got all that and you do it. So now we're going into Cleveland. And they got a new quarterback playing. He seems to be doing decent.
He's a rookie quarterback. His third game.
Yeah.
Bo, you got to get after him.
Well, we
the
do.
Problem is,
we do.
So, Bo, you study the D-line.
So, Joe, let me say, we've been going on for the whole week, this whole season. Well, we're better than those guys.
Yeah,
you know, we should, they're a bad team. No. We're better than the Jets. They're a bad team. We're better than who do we? Carolina. They're a bad team.
Yeah.
We're better than
Patriots.
Patriots. They're a bad team. You know what? We're the bad team.
Right.
We're the bad team.
Yes,
we're the guys that are coming. We're Cleveland sitting up there going, hey, they're a bad team.
No, they're favored by 2.5.
They're a bad team.
Yeah.
We're going to beat that team. They're a bad team. We're the bad team. And we're pointing at the other teams saying, no, they're the bad team. You know, at some point,
No, I agree. I don't disagree. I know one thing that puts you in a good mood. We got to run up to Los Olas. I'm going to run up to Los Olas right now. Chef Andre, catch and cut. Oh, my gosh. Chef Andre, how you doing? Bo's hurting a little bit, man. You came in just in time there. Couldn't have
good morning, gentlemen. You know, it's really nice you guys are talking about New England quite a bit. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm going to give you some props. They're leading the AFC East.
How about that?
Huh? How about that?
And Joe, you got to call me off air and tell me how you muted Kim, because I haven't done that here in the restaurant. I can't mute him. Because when he comes in, he doesn't stop. So you got to let me know how you mute him.
I got to tell you, he has been fired up. Hey, Chef, we got to get into the good news, man. For everybody in South Florida, if you are going up to Los Olas, I got a lot of good restaurants, but, man, I know somebody has got fresh stone crabs starting today. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're really excited. I'm waiting for them to arrive, first catch of the season. Listen, there's no better place to get stone crabs in Fort Lauderdale than here at Catch and Cut. So, you know, I had a great role model for 26 years, and we're going to carry that tradition up here. So I'm very excited.
Same steak, same sushi, and everything else. If you haven't been up there, you're in for just a great experience. Valet parking, but the stone crabs, man, I didn't realize that just kind of snuck up on us, and they're all coming in fresh and ready to go.
So you got new stone crab, fresh stone crabs coming in today, right? Starting today, and I'm surprised that you're able to pull away, because I thought you'd be cracking stone crabs all day long.
Oh, I will be. I got Gene, the selling machine,
and the crack, the shell cracking machine.
No better person selling stone crabs than Gene. He's already called me this morning.
And Friday, Friday is kind of a special day. It's a big stone crab day, and
what are you doing?
It's all day long. I think it starts what 11 o'clock, 11:30.
Yeah, it's our kickoff lunch here at Catch and Cutch, and really featuring the stone crabs. And we got a bunch of other things going on. We got champagne, caviar. We got a lot going on tomorrow. So we're real excited to kick off this season with stone crabs.
Free champagne, getting some wine thrown in there, caviar.
Oh, man, that's great.
It's going to be a stone crab celebration like none other.
Yeah, boy. Yep. Well, listen, you talk about a guy knows a thing or two about the stone crab business. Chef Andre is the man, no question about it. Chef, thank you so much, man, and good luck. And I'll be seeing you down there in the next couple weeks. I lost a bet here.
Woody will be there in 20
Jamie
minutes.
And Woody will be with me that day. So I need Gene the Dream to come in for that one, because he busts their balls, and I like it, so it's good.
On that bet, I think you guys win no matter what, so doesn't matter.
There you go. Chef, thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good week. Thank you.
All right, Chef Andre. Now we got to play him up there. You and I could be losing another bet.
Yeah, I think he's already printed up the jersey, so we're in. We're in deep water right now.
Yeah, and Gene the Dream, by the way, as for as good as there is, when it comes to stone crabs, amazing.
I saw him break a couple for you at one point.
He goes, you know, there's more in there, and I go, how? He showed me pop, 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 pop. He's done. He didn't even use. He just used his hands. Pop, 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 pop. It was done. Best. It was amazing. Yep. Hey, we got to go to break. We got more time here. I got Bo on a roll right now, so we'll be right back in just a second. But first, before we do, I want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida, man. Yeah, where do the pros go? Enter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins. Hey, a couple of guys just recently got injured, some big timers. They use Baptist Health South Florida and those great doctors they put together. All the specialists, man, across the board. You can't be a top sports medicine program unless you have the best doctors for every part of the body. They got knee doctors for everything. Shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles. We got three great facilities to go with it. Even better, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility in 595 and Pine Island Implantation. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One goal every day. It's about getting you back out playing the sports you love the most.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For being with us, Kim Bo Kemper making a great effort to get in here for the last hour. Not easy, and getting the equipment to work around here and stuff. And
yeah, well,
that.
so you know,
I don't know, Bo.
So how long has Woody been working this board?
He's been here since day one.
And day one's like been what, 10 years, 8 years, 5 years,
20.
He's 20 years,
20 years.
Surprising, and honestly, because so usually the stuff is
problems
just,
with the mic,
works.
and he sends someone in and said, What number is that, Mike?
Well, I watched you go from that mic to the other mic six times.
Yeah.
What if I told you that the mics were fine and we just enjoyed watching you go back and forth?
So I checked.
He's going to snap. I got to bet he snapped on the next one.
You're not mad about anything today, are you?
I checked my watch and I did 500 steps between going through the mics, each mic and back. Back and forth, back and forth.
Good thing you came in a good mood.
So,
Look, I was in the middle of traffic on the on the Golden Glades intersection, and it's raining on top of that. And I was in a good mood.
Hey, I'm just gonna tell you, don't get mad. These losses starting to get to you a little bit.
I heard
the TV stuff.
I'm gonna tell you what, it bothers me. It bothers me because I think we have some pretty good players on this football
team. We do.
I think we've got guys that can win games. I just don't know where the – I don't know if it's the passion. Again, Joe, so –
By the way, you did bring that up.
So
they looked dead to start that game.
So I'm watching the game. I'm standing on the sideline waiting, and they start announcing the starters, right? And I go, they're already now. Usually they're like fireworks or, stuff like this going up and people. They're running out. And guys are literally running out with their heads down. And I'm looking at the guys, they run through the two lines.
Yeah.
Nobody's high-fiving anybody. They're just kind of – and then I'm going, wow, this is odd. And then in the middle of the game, Joe.
I heard they got rid of all that stuff because the old school guys are complaining. Too many fireworks and stuff.
That's not funny. Anyway,
it just sounds like the kind of thing you'd complain about. Like,
no, but my point, and then I said it again, like in the third quarter, I said, Joe, I don't like the body language I'm seeing right here.
I looked over.
Guys are sitting on the bench and this and that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. There's the passion, and again, talk about the leader. Remember Mike talked about in the preseason. He talked about a lot in our production meetings. We're doing the preseason game. Oh, you wait. We got the new special teams coach. All the players are going to be lined up on the sideline and participate. And I'm looking there. They're kicking off, and these guys are sitting on the bench,
right,
looking around and wondering what's going on. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's just the fact that you thought you were going to be a better team, and now you're sitting in there and. You're one and four facing 1-5, and now you go, where the hell are we now? I think this is a team that needs to find themselves and try to figure out where to get some passion back and get some get some energy on this team.
So how do you do that?
I don't know
these things. And by the way, they came out in that third quarter. What was that?
They
came out minus 11 to 155 yards, and we were minus 11.
And what was 11? That? What was the
drive? What'd you do at half?
So yeah, the first half or first quarter. The time of possession was like 11 something, and we had like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
or 14 something. Some real oddball. Really?
We have had droughts offensively, and I know I'm not saying that the offense is the number one problem because the run defense. So, Bo, I ask you this every week. So is this just, let's see if somebody got better. What do we do at this point? Because we haven't been able to stop anybody, even teams that have all backups.
Right. Yes. I don't know the answer to that question.
Because they're going to try to run it.
But there's problems everywhere, Joe. So last week, the week prior to last week, it was the middle of the defensive front that was getting torched, right? They're talking about, Kenneth Grant, what's he doing here? And even when Jordan Phillips, the kid, the fourth or fifth round pick, he was playing good for a while, and then he kind of dropped back. Biggers is not even being – hasn't even been
no,
coming
he's not
off.
Active. No.
And so you got Sealer in there. And I thought they played better this week. I thought, Grant got a sack, and I thought they were a little bit more stout. But so instead of running in the middle,
they're bouncing outside
and getting the yardage on the outside.
That was a problem.
So, and you got another
containment.
Core.
I know one of your pet peeves is containment.
You got a running back that came off the practice squad and torched you for about a buck and a quarter.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. I mean, it's, and again, I'm watching good players making bad plays.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what you do. I don't know what, and it's on both sides of the football.
So the same problem over and over again. We talk about them. We're getting better. We're going to work on them. Everybody's saying the same things, and it's just.
And look, Tua.
I've been a little fired up myself.
Tua's. You know,
I didn't bring him up.
I don't know what to think of Tua. You see some good, and then other times you see there's a lot of, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, like I heard you coming in. You know, he gets pressured. Sneaks out of the pocket, comes down the field. It's a 3rd and 12, and he gets to about 9 and goes down. And look, I'm not going to take a hit.
And by the way, he's been coached not to because they want him to line up.
And he'll get that. I mean, how many times have we seen this year where he's in there, he's pressured. He said, "I held with it. I'm just going to throw it out of bounds," almost a behind the line. I'm not going to say so, but not far from the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Just get it out of there. And we'll live to play another play, and then you play the other play, and that goes nowhere. I don't know. So the point you said, yes, I'm very frustrated.
So the thing with Tua, because we've hit Tua. In fact,
I'm not frustrated. I'm pissed.
Yeah, I know you are.
You know,
the Tua thing, and by the way, he's still got a lot of supporters saying he still needs more around him. You know that one still needs more offensive linemen and he'll be fine. Well,
they better if that's going to help Tua, they better do it now, because as I said last week, he's not on an ascending curve anymore. No. He's not on the way up anymore.
No.
He's either flatlining or starting to take a dip.
He does not look like the guy from 2 years ago.
No.
Does not. No not matter what anybody wants to say, you could be his biggest fan and have 42 of his jerseys. He does not look like he used to.
From a body language, from a production, from a leadership standpoint, that thing that he threw out there on Sunday and even the week before, I was in there interviewing him, and like that was a bad loss. That Carolina, you're up by 17 and you lose. Yeah. And it was just, okay. Yeah, it was bad.
I just wanted you to get that one last shot in before you say goodbye. Get out and get those stone crabs, though, in Las Olas, man. Catch and cut, waiting for you.
No,
get
reservations. That mustard sauce a little bit.
That's wrong.
Come on now.
All right.
You know anybody that eats them with butter? Who eats stone crabs with butter?
I like the sauce.
You got to have the sauce.
Got to like that sauce. Yeah. Hey, that's going to do it. Have a great day, everybody.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.